Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
If you're buying this product, you probably have too much money or you're just really bad at budgeting. Would you ever drop $400 on a pineapple?
Pineapple?
I don't know that I'd drop $400 on a new car. Or a car in general.
I mean, if the pineapple came on a plate on a flight to Hawaii, perhaps.
I wouldn't spend $400 on a suit.
Right.
Just wear my Century 21 blazer.
You're good to go.
It's a good look. The fruit company Del Monte unveiled this last January, but it was only available in China. Now it's available here. This pineapple is called Ruby Glow.
It's seriously just a pineapple?
The only remarkable thing about them is that they're slightly red on the outside. They describe the inside as bright yellow and say it has a sweet flavor, so pretty much like a regular pineapple.
Wow.
Even Del Monte describes the taste as similar to their normal ones.
Okay, so there's no real point other than saying that you can't.
Well, the pineapple snobs.
Right.
They're out there. I don't know any personally.
No.
But they're out there. They argue it's not normal. It's a new hybrid that's supposed to be sweeter and slightly less bitter. I didn't know pineapples were bitter to begin with.
I guess if you get into the wrong ripeness. But, I mean, this is something for like those, like, you know, $500 a plate restaurants or something like that. They're going to have some pineapple upside down cake made with this.
Yeah. The reason they're so expensive is they're only selling 5,000 of them this year and then just 3,000 next year. So it's a scarcity thing.
Very limited edition.
Yeah.
Still, I mean,
your wife goes
it's
out
a pineapple.
Buys a $400 pineapple and it rots on the counter. Oh, it's gone bad. I guess we got to throw it out. Yeah. I the only pineapple I'm interested in is Teddy Reader's rum soaked pineapple on his pizza. That I'll spend $400 on. I'm trying to think of
any.
I'm trying to think of any food item. There would never be one food item that I would spend $400 on. Now, if money was unlimited, I would probably be more than willing to drop that kind of dough on like a really great bottle of whiskey or scotch or something.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's something you can share with others, and you have a little sip every now and then. But even like a great meal, like you go to one of these
Michelin stars,
yeah, Michelin star diner or restaurant and whatever. And I'm not that much of a foodie that I would be that crazed to spend $400 even on a meal.
I imagine if you were on like Italian adventure or somewhere in Europe and a Michelin star opportunity came up about. I don't know, $400 each.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a once in a life. It'd have to be a once in a lifetime opportunity.
That's like $900.
Yes. Thank you. It's $800, but taxes. I assume you got a tip.
No tip. No.
Oh, that'd be tough.
No, you'd have to tip on that. But what do you tip? 15?
Well, I mean, like if Gordon Ramsay's cooking it for you or something, it would have to be one of these very incredibly exclusive opportunities. And if you don't get a leg over after that meal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and if it goes right through me. Oh,
well, that's
man.
That's the problem, too, with
I rent that.
Because it's probably very rich.
Yeah.
You know, a thing like that, too, with a meal like that, you should get the leg over before you go for that meal. Because you're just going to be tired after.
And you're probably going to be disappointed in the sense that it's very tiny bites of food.
Like, yeah.
You're not getting a full plate of pasta and filling up on this thing.
Yeah.
It'll just have like this very, very rare ingredients on it. I was seeing, the Formula One race in Miami was last weekend and, a reporter texted a picture, or put it up on social media. And I guess this must have been in like the luxury suites area or something, but the nachos were $180 a platter.
That's fair. Ground beef is very rare.
$190 for chicken wings. $280 for main lobster rolls and a $400 option to add an ounce of caviar to any food item.
I think I like those prices at Augusta now.
I mean, that makes, you know, the toonie dogs or whatever at the Jays game look incredible. Even the regular meal for $25-$30 looks good by that comparison.
That's crazy. For $400 a meal, the chef would have to cook it, chew it, and spit it into my mouth like a baby bird. All right, here's a story to cheer you up. If perhaps you're feeling terrible about yourself this morning, things just aren't going your way, your spouse is driving you nuts, the kids are driving you crazy, your boss, you just want to choke out, nothing's going right. Well, you still don't have it as bad as this guy. A 27-year-old man is now facing charges for threatening to kill a doctor who gave him near-constant diarrhea. Constant?
Near-constant?
Yeah. Name of my autobiography. Constant diarrhea. Diarrhea of the mouth.
Verbal diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah, this poor dude, only 27 years old, and basically he has colitis, and so he went in for some surgery in 2020 that involved removing his colon.
Oy.
He claims it wasn't really necessary. He says it caused him to have daily attacks of diarrhea at least 15 times a day.
Oh.
That's like every hour you're awake.
Yeah, basically. You couldn't leave the house.
No.
Like, there's no way you're going anywhere comfortable.
No. It's terrible. See? Your car needing a new battery doesn't seem so bad now, does it?
That's right. An extra minute at the drive-thru for that coffee. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Next time I have to play cart path golf, I'll remind myself of this guy's story. But here's where the story takes a bit of a twist. Because even though I feel incredibly bad for this guy and what a horrible situation to be in, he doesn't seem like the most pleasant person in the world. Maybe this problem caused him to be unpleasant, but he had issues even before this surgery. He 3 years before he had this surgery, he got arrested and kicked out of university after flipping out on a professor who gave him a B.
Oh, all right.
He also slashed the tires of security vehicles and carved swastikas into the hoods on the university campus. And he's now, because of what he's done, he's facing these charges. He's threatened the doctor online for like last 4 years, and they're not light threats. He talks about killing and torturing him. He says he needs to feel levels of pain no living creature has ever felt.
Ooh.
So, yeah, this guy is a bit of a pain in the butt. What was your evening last night, Lucky?
Busy one, again. The hockey and more hockey, as you know. As the days go by.
You said hockey twice, too.
Yeah.
Two.
I just keep saying it.
Why so much hockey?
It's still the boys' tryouts at this point.
It's ridiculous.
So exactly. We got another week of that, I think, and then it's about over.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the good news is at least it's all done after that, and then you can take the summer off.
Starts up again May 20th?
No. Well, and that's a debate for some, right? Because
so ridiculous.
You know, you either do tryouts in the spring or you do tryouts in the fall. And if you do that, then, you know, teams basically stay on the ice all summer long, which I'm glad that doesn't happen here.
So they'll be going to skating school or some sort of hockey drills all summer?
No, not at all. They'll start playing golf, which is good. Leave it at that.
With themselves? Or are you going to have to drag them around?
No, they're in a junior golf league.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Drop them off you go.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's what you want.
Exactly.
36 a day.
Go.
100%. Yeah. Well, I was out at a fancy-dancy book launching party last night.
Were you really?
Out there in beautiful Newmarket, Ontario.
Let me guess. It was about hockey.
Yes, it is. But I thought of my pally, and I got you a gift, a signed gift.
Get out! I saw that this book had launched, and I know that the author is a friend of yours.
Mr. Jimmy Lang.
And my day with the cup, tracking stories of hometown celebrations with hockey's greatest trophy. Fantastic. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem, pal. I'd look inside at the signature.
I don't see a signature.
It's a couple of pages.
Oh, there we go. All right. F-U, Lucky, I don't even know Jim.
Everybody hates you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. What did he call you?
Mr. Hockey.
Mr. Hockey.
Well, I think Gordie Howe might have something to say about that, but that's okay. I'll take it.
Now, an interesting little thing about that book, he interviewed 30 different players and people involved with the Cup and has been interviewing them for the last 2 or 3 years.
Wow. Like,
trying to catch up with all of them, maybe even longer. And the toughest get was Sidney Crosby. It took forever. And then when he finally got him, he couldn't have been nicer nor spoke. He spoke longer than almost every other player. Yeah. He had like 15 minutes with each guy,
right,
and he went 45 minutes with Crosby.
Yeah.
It's just another great example of how there's just too many people with their hands in the pot,
right,
making too many decisions.
You know, I did a game in Pittsburgh in the fall and got a chance to chat with Sidney Crosby. And it was one of the cooler experiences, just being in that room and chatting with him. And when you just talk, like, when you just talk hockey, like, that's all he wanted to do, obviously.
Right.
But we started out, talking about Rimouski and his time in junior, and I travel through Rimouski every year, and through that it was just a personable conversation. It wasn't, I get it, and I see it all the time with media trained hockey players who, when you ask them about the game, it's all, you know, there's 15 cliches in a 30-second clip,
right?
But when you get a chance to sit down, and I'm sure Jim did in a very good light, in the sense that, hey, tell me about your time with the Stanley Cup. I'm not sure many hockey players wouldn't want to talk about how they spent their day with it.
Yeah, and on the back, he's got like Ray Bourque giving him thumbs up.
Yeah,
and
Brian Burke, cool. Chris Nyland, like, really, really cool.
The interesting thing about the picture on the front is that comes from the Hockey Hall of Fame. They had to get a photo from them.
Okay,
but
officially of the Cup.
Yeah. They will not release, or they would not share with Jim who that player is.
Oh, really?
And I said, oh, maybe because he's not with that girl anymore. But just from his back, because I know you know hockey players and their bodies, who is it?
I don't know their backs without equipment on or a name and number. This is
it's
dude on a boat.
It's so typical of a hockey. So just to paint the picture.
Yes.
It's typically a hockey player. He's got his baseball cap on backwards.
Right.
Full on mullet.
Flow coming out. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's definitely a hockey
girl
player.
Girl wrapped around him.
Yeah.
But, can't see the face.
No.
Yeah. So I'll go with Mark Stone. Vegas. Go.
All right. All right.
Perhaps.
So yeah,
although his wife doesn't have dark hair, so maybe that's why they won't lace
this. This is the thing.
It's not his wife.
I'm pretty sure that girl is not in the picture anymore. I'm gonna play a little clip for you here, and then you try to figure out what it is. Okay.
Someone listening.
Someone posted this online.
Is it in train radio in the worst possible?
In train radio?
Underground? I don't know. It sounded like it was all echoey, like it was in a bathroom or something.
I don't know where it was recorded, but the noises are, and then we can play it and you'll see it like when I play it again. The first one is Robert Plant as a forklift. These are all singers singing in styles of various things.
As a forklift.
So it's that whoever did this thinks he sounds like a forklift. This is Kurt Cobain as a coffee grinder. Okay. this is David Lee Roth as a popcorn.
Bop, 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 city bop.
And this is Ozzy Osbourne as windshield wipers. And finally, it's Michael Jackson as an old school dot matrix printer. See, it all makes sense.
Printing off a banner for Mother's Day. Remember doing those?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot. If you're stressed out at work, you probably need a vacation, and summer's fast approaching. So you want to go somewhere. You know, life is stressful. You want to go somewhere that's calm and cool and chill. So if you want that, then you certainly don't want to go to this place, a tourist site, a travel site, has listed Times Square in New York City as the most stressful place to go in the world.
Really? I mean, yeah, obviously busy, a lot of cars, a lot of people. I've often looked at the New Year's Eve Times Square ball drop and thought, why the hell would you want to go down into that?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've been there once. It's amazing, but it is overwhelming in your... It's just a sea of people. It's insane. So this travel site was looking for negative words like overrated, tourist trap, underwhelming.
I would have thought like something like the Champs-Élysées in Paris, because like notoriously that roundabout is like 12 lanes wide and just like one of the worst traffic circles in history.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be trying to drive that or navigate that for sure. The Eiffel Tower in Paris is on the list as a stressful place. Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin. That just seems like a depressing place.
Yeah, well, okay. It's like saying the demilitarized zone in Korea.
It's like going to, again, to New York City and going down to the 9/11,
right.
You know, site.
Well, that one, I guess, emotional, maybe not so stressful.
Yeah. We went into, after we went and saw it, they have a 9/11 museum where they actually have like pieces of the building in there and all.
Goodness.
It was so flippin' depressing. I needed like a pitcher of beer to myself when we came out of there.
Right.
The Little Mermaid sculpture in Denmark is supposedly incredibly stressful. I don't know why. The Blue Lagoon in Iceland is stressful. See, Iceland just seems like such a, and no pun intended, chill place to go.
I would think the Leaning Tower of Pisa would be on that list just because you've got to deal with everybody who's trying to take the picture of them holding up the tower.
Right.
And then whoever's taking your picture has got to line that up perfectly in the middle of a crowd.
Yeah. We're guilty of that. The London Eye, the Guinness Storehouse in Ireland.
Yeah.
I would see that. The Louvre in Paris.
Yeah.
Colosseum in Rome.
Where's Disney on that list?
Yeah,
I mean, that's gotta be stressful, man. When you're dealing with the price that you've paid for your tickets, the lines and the crowds that are happening there, plus you're likely corralling kids and dealing with other people's rugrats running around you.
I escaped going into the Vatican for this very thing. It was so stressful just trying to figure out how to get tickets, where to go. There was different levels that you could, you know, you could get private tours or this or that. And I thought you should basically walk up to the gate and pay and you go. But we get up that morning and there was just lineups around the block. And someone said it's like that every day.
Really?
Everybody trying to get into the Vatican, spend a little time with the Pope.
Gotcha.
Well, hi, how are you to the Pope, man? Try on his hat. I said to Maria, I'd rather go to Disney because Mickey Mouse is more real to me than this dude. Well, there's some info now about an Office spinoff series. It'll be the same mockumentary format. The description right now is the documentary crew that immortalized Dunder Mifflin's Scranton branch is in search of a new subject when they discover a dying historic Midwestern newspaper and the publisher trying to revive it with volunteer reporters. There's no word if any, if any character from The Office will make an appearance. It doesn't have a title or release date yet, but production starts in July. So.
Really?
Yeah. I have not gone back to watch The Office. I'm just finishing up Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You're still on that one, too?
Final season. Season 7. Yeah.
I'm just finishing up the Gentleman. I think I've got one or two episodes left.
It's really good.
It's really good and right up my alley because I'm a fan of those kind of Guy Ritchie shot.
Yeah,
Bond-esque
things. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thought it was really good. I liked it's very dark humor in it, which
yeah, very much so.
Yeah. My girlfriend, Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
She doesn't know it, but.
She definitely doesn't know it.
No, no. Listen, you know, I highly doubt there's any Oscars in her future.
Right, yes.
You know, we're not confusing her with Meryl Streep.
Right. Unless a boy named Oscar enters the picture.
I mean, she has this new one out. It's on Netflix. We haven't watched it yet, or it's on Prime, one of them anyhow, and it's called Anyone But You, and I've seen the trailer, and the acting is, she's horrible. But I don't care. I'll watch it over and over and over again. So she's going to be in a new film where she portrays boxer Christy Martin in a biopic.
She's going to play a boxer?
Yeah. I'll follow that. She could beat me up. It'll follow her rise to fame in the 90s as a young gay woman in small town Virginia where she used boxing as a vehicle to express herself in her rage.
Right.
The producers describe Christy as a female Rocky. She's the only female boxer to ever be on Sports Illustrated on the cover. Christy was the first woman to sign with promoter Don King. She married her coach, who's now behind bars, for attempting to kill her in 2010, so that didn't go well. She then married her former ring rival in 2017. Sydney says she's excited to get back into the ring and train for the role. She used to do some kickboxing from the age of 12 to 19. She's 26 now.
Right.
So.
Where are they going to hide the heavy bags in the... in the movie.
I don't know. You'd have to look up Christy Martin. Maybe Christy had a fine set. Yeah, she's a... I've spent some time.
That, I mean, if you look up Christy Martin, putting Sydney Sweeney in that role is a hell of a reach for Christy Martin. I'm sure Christy Martin would be the most thrilled in terms of her looks. Although I said the same, too, when they did that Monster movie. Right. Right, with Eileen Wuornos' story, and it was Charlize Theron who was in it. And, I mean, she looked nothing like Charlize Theron in it, right?
No, no. You know, and it's so funny that they get so rewarded when they do those kind of roles, because the makeup is doing all the acting,
right?
Basically, right? They same with that other movie, what was her name? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, she's a beautiful woman, and they really made her look horrible. And then she went on to great fame for it.
Mm.
As I think Jack Nicholson once said, just let the makeup do the work.
Right.
When they were doing Batman.
The Joker.
Yeah. The Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef has finally found its way into the politics in the U.S. Joe Biden's social media team posted a video featuring a picture of Donald Trump set to Kendrick's diss track, Euphoria. The lyrics in the clip are, it's always been about love and hate. Now let me say, I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak diss. I catch flight. It's going to be direct. So what they did was, that's the actual lyrics from, Kendrick Lamar. But in this video, they change them up a bit and says, it's always been about love and hate. Now, let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way you walk over women's rights, the way you talk about immigrants. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak diss on Truth Social. So. Biden wouldn't know Kendrick Lamar or Drake if he rode over them in his Corvette. So funny.
He's more in tune with Sir Francis Drake, the explorer. Yeah,
it's so pathetic. It's so sad. Ticket prices, as we know, for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour had gotten way out of hand this side of the pond. So a lot of Swifties missed out seeing her here, although she's coming to Toronto in November, but anywhere, it's November, I think she's here, right? For like 14 nights at the Rogers Center or something. I did a bunch of nights in a row.
Yeah, she's doing a ton.
Anyhow, she kicked off a leg of her European tour in Paris, and North Americans bought up about 20% of the tickets for the shows there. At her next stop in Stockholm, Sweden, about 10,000 fans are expected from North America. So why would they put themselves through all of this? Because it's cheaper, or at least comparable. Because Europe has tighter restrictions on ticket fees and resale prices.
Oh.
An Expedia spokesperson says, you can either spend $2,000 to go to see your favorite artist in, like, Miami, or you can take that $2,000, buy a concert ticket, a round-trip plane ticket, and three nights in a hotel.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Make it a destination.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. They're now calling it, in the travel business, tourism.
Okay.
And
I like it.
Yeah. Swifty started that.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.